Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Show for June 10th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. And this is the Shungite Show, so we're going to be focused on not just the Shungite, but the Shungite bees and honeybees in general. And this just recently, I got an email that sent me to something that Derek had put up about, well, you just tell about it. Well, why don't you first off say hi to everybody, you and Mark, and then, you know, talk about that. I don't even know what it's called, electric.
Well, first off, yeah. Hello, everybody. Happy to be here.
Mark. Yeah, it was on mute. Hey, everybody, good to be here.
Yeah, no problem. What she's talking about, everybody, is I'll kind of bring it into that, Nancy, down to that section of the page. But we're talking about the Natural Beekeeper's Path nonprofit now. So as of yesterday, June 9th, the naturalbeekeeperspath.com was granted Washington State nonprofit status. And we are going to continue on the steps in just the next couple of days of getting federal status, and then the 501c, so it'll be tax deductible any donations. But we're, so on that website, again, I won't get totally into that organization and the network and all that until and when and if we want to, but I've added a new page where it's called Be the Solution, and it's under construction completely. It'll be updated, well, possibly by the time this podcast gets aired, but it's called, and it's right now, it just looks like a little drop down menu, but this will be refined, like I was saying. So at somewhere on the page, when you look at it, it'll say unintentional ground currents or stray voltage. And I can kind of just get in and read a little bit about it. But what I did was put together a small, I don't really want to call it an article, but actually not at all, but instructions and a little FAQ on how you can measure it and understand it's a thing. So let me read it just from the beginning. So unintentional ground currents, often called stray voltage or stray ground current, are low-level electrical currents that leak into unintended pathways such as soil, plumbing, or building structures. While often overlooked, they can significantly impact agricultural operations, human health, pollinators like honeybees, and electrical safety. So that was just a little quick spiel on it so everybody can wrap their heads around it, because it is a not commonly used term. But basically, electricity from various sources, not just high voltage power lines, but other places, I mentioned a little bit in here, leak into the ground, and they can be exacerbated by certain things like fence posts I get into here, and or by putting, for example, beehives in between a metal fence and the high currents coming from power lines, because that power can be measured. And again, it's called ground currents or stray voltage, and eventually dissipates. But then this is why you'll want to get into an expanded, I'm going to write more about this on Shungite beehives as well, where you'd want Shungite nuggets on the ground around the beehive. So another part, and I'm going to kind of be all over the place here, so bringing it into the Shungite beehives perspective, you're going to want the Shungite beehives on wooden stools or wood of some kind, something that doesn't conduct a lot of electricity. So that'll help, you know, dissipate or stop some of that ground current from coming up into the beehive. But even on top of that, regardless of what type of stand your bees are on, for example, mine are on wooden rounds, so tree stumps, basically. And they're large enough ones that they can support a beehive. But you would still want to put, because you're not sure if maybe there's underground power cables, internet cables, all sorts of stuff, including fiber optics, things with electricity that will add to that ground current. So you'd want shungite nuggets and or powder around the base of the beehive as well. And that's something I haven't talked about before. So that can help dissipate those. And I get into a little bit of that in the version of the information on the website here. So, but that's the long and short of it. But so basically, stray voltage is just what it sounds like, voltage. It's not being directed to any one particular place. And you can measure this stuff. Again, it's in this ex explanation on the website, which is thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And again, you'll see that webpage that says, what does it say? Be the solution. And then again, oscilloscopes, EMF meters would be the more practical one that people would possibly have around the garage. You know, a little $20 EMF meter you can get on Amazon or somewhere. Walk around your house, walk around your yard with it, and all of a sudden watch if the little light or the little audio speakers start screaming at you, and it'll alert you to things and help you locate these spots if they are there. So it's not, I'm also bringing attention not just to bees, but really any animals. So if you have horses or cows and you know have the metal stalls, that's a thing. You gotta watch that, especially if there's a breaker box or surge panel on that barn or that horse shed, or even, and in our case, we found out there's solar panels. There's no animals in the barn, but there's solar panels in this particular barn I'm talking about, lining the roof. Well, all that wire comes down into panels on the side and battery banks, and all of that has leakage into the ground. So then you wouldn't want to necessarily put, even if you were going green and using solar, well, then keep your, let's go beehives, really anything away from that portion of the setup. And that's just something that's not, usually thought of or talked about. So there's, I'm looking here, there's actually litigation. I gave a couple examples from some dairy farms, and these are studies, by the way. So let me scroll down to where it actually gives you the numbers in here, because I was really big on that too. But oh, here we go. So the threshold of concern, it's called, for livestock and bees. So what's been measured, and I'll get there quickly, is voltage as low as 1 volt can cause physiological and behavioral changes in dairy cows. That's a study that's been done. It's a thing, and it's being submitted up federally. So hopefully changes can be made for, in whatever situation this is pertinent. And then as far as honeybees go, I mean, even microvoltage range, electrical fields can disrupt their the magnetic reception and navigation methods and ways they do it. So bees fly and work along these energy fields, and even these, again, slight fluctuations, and that was a hard word to say, is why I kind of stumbled through right there. I actually stumbled across it on one of the studies. But in the magnetoreception and navigation. So that's the thing with the bees. And of course, this all affects them. And then under that, I go to a couple of the litigations or the stuff going through courts right now on, and that can be faulty power lines and stuff like that too, because power companies know there's leakage and there's acceptable leakage in their eyes, but we don't get told about that. And that acceptable leakage does affect things like bees and livestock. And,
I've got a list here. It comes from someplace. I don't know because I was pulling a lot of things, but and when I was reading it, I was I sat back and I said, "Well, I guess I was right," because I'm going to read you what they say about the bees, and but just think in terms of a baby, children, old people, anybody, because what you're seeing in the bees, you can also see in human beings, but they're not testing it in human beings. Well, they are now, but okay. If they if it's prevalent or even just in the area, the bees will be stressful for honeybees and can affect their behavior, their ability to navigate, potentially contributing to colony collapse disorder, increased aggression, and reduced learning. Now, that reduced learning thing, it was like, wow. It says lab studies have shown that honeybees exposed to EMFs exhibit increased aggression towards other bees and were slow to learn. I don't know how they measure that, Derek, but okay. Then it's increased motor activity, abnormal vocalization, and reduced weight gain, potentially leading to queen loss and decreased brood production. When you look at just what happens to the bees, you gotta, say, whoa, maybe I should pay more attention to this. But you don't have to if you're using the shungite. Because even though you're getting excess energy that you don't need, in the case of an electric, you have changed the energy so that it is not as damaging. And that's why Derek's saying put shungite just around the ground. Because if it's there, and you've got other products there, Derek, with the I'm trying to think of, it's like the tiny Cloudbuster things. And
I don't think those are available anymore.
no.
No, those were just too time intensive or labor intensive to make on any. Maybe I could do custom orders if they were bulk or something. But you can only make so many products ourselves. As you know, we're already overwhelmed and struggling here. So some of those things had to be limited. I don't think
But
they're.
what you shouldn't do is kind of like limit what you could do. In other words, let your creative side come on and just imagine these energies that are coming from things that you don't want, and look around, see where they could be coming from. Try to figure out, well, let me see. Do I have pipes under the ground? Do I have electrical? Do I have cable? Is there anything under the ground? And I actually did that. When I read this, I started thinking about it. I said, no, I don't have that. But there's so many different ways that this same effect happens to us. So the fix is easy and inexpensive. And you basically only have to do it once. You might want to replenish after a few years because shungite will deteriorate. Break down in the soil, which is, it doesn't break down completely. It just goes to powder, and probably that's enough too. And you do not have to think in terms, in my opinion, of the silver shungite, because the silver shungite, you need it if you're talking Wi-Fi. If you think it's a Wi-Fi situation, then yeah. But if it's just regular electric current, the raw shungite is fine, in my opinion. It works. But I just wanted to point that out, that to give people the idea of these minor changes in the bee, but a minor change in a human being, especially a young kid that's learning. Maybe a lot of this learning stuff is just electromagnetic bullshit. The disorders that we have in the learning. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it, but this could be one of them. So anyway, bad news, but there is a fix. Sorry to interrupt you there, Derek, but I didn't want to forget this.
No, I was done reading the thing anyway. So, anybody wants more information can, look it up online or there's, I get more in there. Again, I'm not going to read through every aspect of it, but as far as the bees are concerned, yeah, that's another part that people aren't thinking about, beekeepers, especially about, am I too close? Well, they may go as far as to think, maybe should I go near these power lines or something like that, or a big transformer that's maybe if their yard is connected to that, but. And often I've seen that's not even thought about. If it's, if your land is maybe, butted up against and next to a substation or big inverters or something like that, the big green boxes often look like. But no, it's the stuff underground as well. We got to think about that. And basically, we can just, again, a $20 device any beekeeper can get and walk around and just check the area. turn it on, walk around, see if a certain area screams at you, and avoid that area. It's
And what's that called again, Derek, please?
Oh, just an EMF meter. So if you literally type that in, they'll pop up on, you literally go to Amazon or anywhere. You go to Home Depot, Lowe's. I don't want to promote anybody, but everybody has them. So yeah, EMF, put it on a search engine, images, there we go. They all come up. And again, you don't buy a fancy one, get one for $20. That's all the more you need. And then use it. So I'm talking to everybody here, not just beekeepers now. Get one of these meters for your house. Turn it on, takes two AA batteries. You really don't even need the instruction manual. It's that simple. The thing's gonna start screaming at you. You're gonna see the little numbers go higher and lower, or a red light flashing, depending on the model, and usually all the above. But walk around in your house, just a slow walk pace, and hold it. And then you're gonna be, and that's only gonna pick up with so many feet. So then do things like walk up to your outlet covers, and believe it or not, your light switches. Those are usually worse for electrical leakage than the outlet. You think outlet, open plugs, it's just launching stuff out of there. Well, yeah, to a degree, but the light switches, the whatever wiring issues going on in there, those are usually a much bigger alert on my meters. And I think three or four of them now, different types for different things. But so if you're going, if you have a animal bed, dog bed, walk around with that. Check, make sure that area is good, and make sure the dog bed or animal bed's not like under an outlet, the obvious things. Or, but even there could be wiring in the house or under the floor for whatever reason, whatever house you're in. So, and you may not know it. So then just hold this meter, swipe it by there, especially your headboards. Let's jump to humans now. In your beds, if you got a baby in a crib, check the walls. I don't care if there's an outlet there or not. There could be wiring in those walls.
Yeah, check the baby monitor.
Check every, yeah, and then shove that thing far away if you use one of them. But anyway, and put a shungite sticker on it. So and you could put secure shungite rubber under a baby's not inside the crib, but outside of the crib on the bottom, like maybe tape it to the outside under or something like that. That might be an idea. I wouldn't put anything in the crib. But now EMF stuff. Again, walk around in your bathroom. I mean, just everywhere. And then now you're going to know where to put more shung or maybe shungite paint on the wall and paint back over it with your favorite color. But now you'll know maybe put a shungite cube or sphere or whatever in that space in your house. Because I've had those spaces that just trigger and there's nothing there and there's no reason for it. Well, there is, because outside energies and things, and there's antennas and stuff, will coalesce in certain areas in our houses at times. That's the thing too, because they're not limited by walls. So what I'm saying is it may not even be a thing in your house. So that can, I won't jump too far on this, but if you're going to go buy a house, I'd have a meter with you as you go, as you inspect it, as you do your tour. Just see what's going on with the house. Maybe the lighting.
One of the things people should be aware of is that if you've got a smart meter on the house, every few minutes, this thing sends a surge of energy through your house, reading all sorts of things. If you're measuring, and I've seen this happen, we were measuring, and all of a sudden the dang thing went off the chart, and it was only for a and gone. But I happened to have this electrician guy that I was working with. And I said, "What the hell was that?" And he says, "Oh, that thing." Well, we didn't know either until we found out. And he tells me a story about the smart meters. So if you're out there and you see that happen, well, now you know that I wasn't lying to you. And the guy wasn't lying to me. And that you're not going to change unless you get rid of that smart meter.
Yeah, there's stuff all over the place.
But again, on the control, oh, not the control panel, where the fuses is, the fuse box. If you put a sticker on that, and I would use a shungite silver sticker, on the fuse box, you don't have to put it. You don't even have to tape it down. Just lay it inside. That is going to mitigate a lot of the negativity that's associated with this stuff. But again, it's a lot of energy coming at you. So when Derek says if you're getting a bleed out of your outlets there, well, technically it should already be in a state of not being, of having been electromagnetically changed to be compatible, but it's still a lot of energy. And that's why I recommend when you, any one of your outlet, light, everything, you know, either put a sticker or take some of the, you still have, what is it? The paint. You still have the paint?
Yeah, we have the paint and then also the powder you can make your own.
Right. And, you know, just put a, I always like three. I'd put three drops in the shape of a pyramid on every single one of them. Because even though the signal has been changed to be more compatible, the energy is still coming out. When you've got energy that's coming out that's electromagnetic and you don't want to be, you know, it's not something you really want to be overwhelmed with. If you do that, then the energy that's coming out is propelled by electromagnetic, but you're getting doses of shungite, which is healing. When I first started out, there were some people that kind of got that. I kind of knew, but I wasn't going to talk about it, but they got it. And they actually took their cell phones that had the stickers on them and used them as a healing thing. And I don't talk about it because you know, I still think of the cell phone as being so dangerous, but they actually came back with about a half a dozen different applications that were made to people, especially if it was like insect bites and some kind of a rash or, you know, something that was sort of, well, it's something you could see. And they would just take the cell phone and in most cases just put it on that area, you know, not calling out or anything, just the cell phone itself, because the cell phone is always active. And so, you know, and they had some dramatic changes. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm saying that what I'm telling you about putting shungite on any possible place that there's leakage is going to make you feel better because there's a shungite field now, not specifically just an electric field. I hope that makes sense.
Yep,
Mark,
well.
did you see have any, you know, comments or questions?
You're
Mark?
asking.
Eric, as far as the book goes, people can get on Amazon real quick or buy through Mystical Works to support you more. And those are ready to ship out, right?
They are. Oh yeah, we've got them in stock here, so we're ready to ship out, well, any of the books, but the most recent one is the Natural Beekeeper's Path. And that's one that just recently in the span of 9 days from the accident, the truck accident with 14 million bees, it turned into a nonprofit on day nine. So it happened pretty quickly. And the entire nationwide database of beekeepers is up and running. And we've already got submissions from across all across the country now. And that's basically a free database of beekeepers to sign up. So when there's the next accident, a large scale of these leased beehives being transported. And these ones were en route from Washington State to South Dakota. And those things happen approximately once a year. Well, now we'll have a database of local beekeepers in wherever the area is we can contact right away without the delays. And they have the parts and pieces ready to go. And on the same website, the naturalbeekeeperspath.com, we also have a nationwide free emergency response plan that civilians and first responders can download for free. And that'll be expanded on today as well. But now there's an actual plan that, you know, you can log in instantly from your phone if you're on scene, go, what do we do? Oh, wait, we don't want these bright lights in this area because that's a thing too. And I'm just touching on one aspect of it. But there are lots of things that need to be known because, you know, not everybody's going to be a beekeeper on the first responder. And then we've actually started to GoFundMe because we're trying to put together emergency responder bee kits. So that along these routes, every so often, be it with sheriff's departments or police, but they'll have a bee kit that, you know, the deputy or whomever there can have and show up with and actually respond to the scene. Because that wasn't a thing that we had at this one. nobody was prepared. They ran to hardware stores locally, got a B hood, and thought, oh, we'll be good. No, that didn't last, 10 seconds, because a lot of reasons on that. So that's another thing we're doing, especially tied into GoFundMe, is putting together those emergency B kits. But already, again, within that same 9-day span, the database is set. So any beekeeper hearing this, nationwide, or somebody that knows a beekeeper, tell them about it. It's again the naturalbeekeeperspath.com, and there's already a sign-up form for free, and you're not obligated. It just means, hey, if you're available and you want to take part, we'd appreciate it, kind of thing. And again, for first responders, there's the whole plan that will be evolving online, telling them what to do, what the initial ones, how far away do you want to put people so they don't have, get stung, and it goes a lot deeper. So there's a whole plan on that, and that's a podcast in itself. And also on that same site, which is what we just read from, is another page called Be the Solution. And that'll be, like I mentioned, expanding today and onward of things we can do, anybody, and or be aware of, that have to do with bees and ourselves. And the first one was just that, the unintentional ground currents or stray voltage tying into the bees and things. But we're going to get a lot more aspects of what we can do to be the solution there. And then, as Mark mentioned, that book, which is how this all started, was the Natural Beekeeper's Path book. And it's, treatment-free practices for a living world. And in short, it's a short version of what's now available on the website, but still fully encompassing all the information you need. So it's a great starting point. But the book that explains treatment-free beekeeping and how you can do all this without chemicals, and it gets into the energy aspects of beekeeping. And then that got released and published on World Bee Day, which was not planned, and I had no idea. So synchronicities lined up, decided it was going to be a free PDF online, which will be being updated as well from the website. And I'm spieling out a lot here. From the updated web page or website version of the book, will go into the PDF and eventually into the new printed book as well. All this takes time, but it's more important for me to have the information out there and available. But we do need support in the way of donations, and we are a nonprofit now. So there's ways to use that, tax status wise, for people donating. And then the book, if you buy it from us, the paperback version at mysticwars.com, you can even get a discount with the Save 10 coupon code, and you'll get discounted there. And that's a great way to help support the bees. And actually, we're in need of additional bee equipment now, because the Shanghai beehives for the, what are we calling it? The Shanghai Beehive 2025 project. And we have three hives up and running. And here in the near future, everybody, we'll have one of the supporters of one of the beehives who also works with energy fields, not just in the form of, well, scalar for one of them, but other ways as well. So we're going to have that person on. I'll announce more when I get the final time, but next week or two. So we're going to talk about that as well. So that's going to be really interesting. But there's going to be a lot of that information in the book. I'm trying to figure out what else. Did Nancy or Mark, did you have any
I
questions?
do, yeah. Now, when we talk about this emergency response, it's not just accidents. It can also be natural things, like a tornado goes through and it just happens to be beekeepers in the way.
Exactly. So it's all the same. This covers all of that. So regard that's a good point. So regardless of whether it's a truck that, and like in the case that triggered all of this event, on May 30th, up in Linden, Washington, or just like she said, a tornado can come through, or what, a bear can come through. That happens. I hear that all the time. Well, a couple times a year, of where a bear went through so and so's apiary, and all of a sudden there's 20, 50 hives just shoved over because he wanted to taste all the honey. Well, that's a thing where that beekeeper needs assistance. So they can go to our network, contact us. We're going to say, here's the local people in your area, and we'll reach out a little further and say, are you willing to travel? And let me tell you, a lot of these beekeepers will go. I mean, I showed up there and, we're less than an hour, basically. I'm not the only one that would do that. So we're getting people signing up. We had somebody sign up from Texas yesterday, I think. So we're getting beekeepers across the country. And then the plan is there too. So then those people will know, just get on your cell phone, no clubs to join, just hit the download now button and you're going to have a plan ready to go with a lot of information on what to do, even what to do with the first responders on what they should bring. Like for example, like the fire department, misting hoses or nozzles. I know they can do that. But just so they know, that's what you would maybe want to do rather than, turn the hose on full blast because you don't want to harm the bees. But if there's a light mist going on of water in the air, that's a something that we could have used. Would have sure helped the beekeepers as well, all of us trying to rescue them. But none of that was in place. Nobody was there to talk to, and nobody can get close. And they have enough hose. So that's all the thing where I'm going to spell out. And then again, evolving version of this. What am I calling it here? I'm calling it the Beekeeper Emergency Response Plan. That is again published already on the website and evolving, but it'll spell out, well, the fire trucks can stay 300 yards away. I know you got enough hose to run a hose down there, and a beekeeper can drag the hose, whatever it takes. There's ways to secure that as well, the hose nozzles. So anyway, but a lot of that stuff's not thought about in the moment because in our case, 14 million bees flying all at once everywhere. And everybody just about is getting stung, and nobody knew what to do, and it could have happened a lot quicker. And I'm also looking at, and I anybody listening to this, I could use any and all help you can provide, and that means even if it's just sharing this information, sharing a link to the website, thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. I also have .org, but I'm finding out some browsers are pausing it because I'm redirecting and forwarding, and I'm not going to get in all that now. But it is a nonprofit. Just sharing that information and getting it out there so they can let other beekeepers know and they can sign up, hopefully make donations so we can get these bee kits in place. And then, oh, the other part was I want to contact, and if somebody knows how and where, I need help with that too. But as far as contacting the National Sheriff Guilds and or Police Department Guilds and or any other guild or club or organization, whatever we want to call them, that are out there that are affiliated somehow with first responders or things like that. That way they can then disperse it down through their, even if it's unions, we're not down to their, let's talk sheriffs, their sheriffs all across the nation. Well, then they get an email saying, hey, there's this new organization. Here's the link for it, blah, blah, blah. Well, the sheriff here could have used that, and we didn't have that. And I even talked up to the state level with the agricultural department, and there wasn't really anything available, nothing they could do. And they had no way of getting involved really. So, and that was something else. That's the bigger plan we're going to do is have some nationwide changes. I mean, even try and get some kind of, it'd be minor, but training for the drivers. So in this case, our truck driver who got in the accident had flip-flops on or sandals, and he had to get out of the cab of the truck no matter what. Well, if he know and he knew, but he didn't have this kit, so it's not his fault. If it's a transport truck, there should be an emergency bee kit in that cab, including EpiPens, because maybe that driver has no idea if he's allergic or she's allergic to bees, and or a bystander if and when truck accidents happen. But even more importantly, a bee suit. And there's low cost ones. They don't have to be, and they don't take up a lot of room that can be in this kit. So there's a lot of things that could have been done that protect that driver as well, because accidents happen. It was in, and I didn't see any fault. It was a long truck, small country road, tight turn. It happens. Unfortunate. So, maybe they learn next time, and this will be part of the plan to plan the exits of these certain fields. And I don't know how far we can push that, where the trucks come out. So, which one is, safer to exit so this doesn't happen again, or have a ground guide over there saying, nope, something like that. So I would hope that gets implemented, but we want, but nobody's, that's not something we're thinking of because there's so many moving parts. But in this plan, we'll make an after incident reports and things like that, and planning for the next time. So anyway, I can go on and on, and I'll quit probably boring everybody, but it's already all up and running, ready to go. And again, it will be evolving. There's other documents that have been done on the state level, local level, federal level, where they're talking about how to respond to things. And because again, hence the name, the Natural Beekeeper's Path. I'm all about not harming the bees, of course. Where I've read some of these plans, I don't even want to say the state of their bee response plan, where it involved coming out and just foaming the bees, instantly. Just fire trucks with foam, spraying them all, which would kill them all, and just taking care of it like that, because that was just the fastest way to do it, in their opinion. And there's times and places. I mean, well, hopefully, so I was gonna say, like, let's say a B truck has an accident outside of a schoolyard or something. Well, don't have that a B route. Have designated B routes. So there's really no excuse. There's other things we can think about. And I'm sure there are already B routes out there to one degree or another, but well, maybe we need to limit them and not go by places like that. And it has to be transported at nighttime, so the bees are less agitated, less stuff happening, less humans out at that time, less cars to get in accidents with. And all that's going to be built into the nonprofit. I'm skimming through the webpage right now to see if there's not, again, I'll be expanding it with other be the solution parts and pieces to that, even down to where you can help your local bees. And we've talked about this before, Mason bees and carpenter bees, but that'll be on there. And it'll be its own page, but the Natural Beekeeper's Path book, again, that started all this, it has evolved and probably at least tripled in size, in information on the website version. So, and that's a lot more intensive, and that'll still be evolving as well. I know I mentioned this earlier, but it is on the website, free to download. So, Mark and Nancy, I don't know if you guys have any questions on any of the.
I just want to point out to everybody that there's people all around you that are into bees. You may not know it, but if you know any government people, they're your neighbors. I'm talking about, local city, that type of thing. Just talk the bees up, because the more all right, I started to do some more research and I found this it said decrease in the bees in Florida. And it was a recent, I mean, like in the last month, publication. And what they discovered was that at least there's been at least a 60% drop in Florida bees. And that was mainly the big bee farms. And they don't know what it is, or they think it might be a pesticide, but there's so many different things that it could be, but you can at least work with shungite. And I push shungite because I know that it is the number one. It can do so many things. It'll help with pesticides. It'll help with the mites. It'll help with everything. And so people need to get this information out, because this is only the state of Florida that there's been this drop. And they said it was 60 to 80% drop. But at least 60%. And now they have set up a study where they're asking people who have bees, including the, homeowner types, that if they have a die-off or something's happening, they give you a whole procedure how to send your bees, dying or dead, into this facility that will test to see what's killing them. So that's just the state of Florida. And you probably have similar things happening in other areas, but you don't know about it because nobody talks about it. And this isn't a small thing, this is a very big thing. So, just, if you know a government official, they're just your friend or whatever, say, what do you know about bees? Because, they're critical and blah, blah, blah. And just give them the website and hope that their higher self will guide them to learn more about it. To start it again at the ground level, towns, counties, states, to pay attention to something that can be reversed. It's not something that needs to happen, in my opinion. Okay, back to you guys.
I was struggling to mute as
Derek,
well.
you got some events coming up. You have the crow interview, I think, in a couple days, few days, and then there's a Sunday event. Any other interviews, events coming up?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because and there's a reason I'm mentioning this. So everybody listening, our website is on WordPress.com, And they, for some reason, and I'll just make this as short as possible, did some upgrades, and it affected everybody's websites and/or templates. So basically, what I'm saying is our events calendar doesn't even show the current stuff coming up, shows some of it, but we can't edit it. We're having lots of issues with that in the background. It's not just us. So we also have, yeah, if we have the fairs happening, like one this Saturday, but also Sunday. So what is not being shown, I'm gonna open it on Facebook real quickly right now, is I have a beekeeping class here locally. Anyway, I'm not even gonna look right now because otherwise I'll sit here and pause for too long. But it's not just intro to beekeeping. I'll be talking mason bees, carpenter bees, so intro to bees, Shungite beehives. It's an hour and a half class that will be in store in Mount Vernon here at Mystical Wares. There will be more online events happening, especially now that the Natural Beekeepers Path website nonprofit is up and running. And we're going to be expanding our presence on TikTok, especially getting more videos out and shorts and probably the whole Substack thing as well. But that's what's coming up. And then, Mark, you may have seen other events. What do we got? Oh, well, then another one, but on July 12th, it's just that it's called Gentle Pollinators and Backyard Heroes. Pretty much, I'm going to be it's a local event here as well. I'm at the Padilla Bay National Research Est Estuary Estuary. I can't even say that word. Estuarine. I have no idea. But we're
Estuary.
it, well, it's estuarine. Estuarine. I am butchering that. Yeah, I know. I think estuary too, but it ends with R-I-N-E. So anyway, I'll be talking there. You can find this information and correct my pronunciation of it, anybody, on July 12th. And it's mason bees and carpenter bees and a lot more, but that'll be the main focus of it. And what we'll get things corrected as we can on this course. This just happened the last day. The whole just snafu, we'll just call it. Not on our part, but on their part. Yeah. So I have to go through and edit every web page. The scalar session, somebody notified me that unless you had that direct link that Mark had shared before, if you go through the web page, the link was missing because it was a button on the web page that they didn't support anymore. And anyway, I've got to now go through many websites, including Mystical Wares, to find those issues and repair them. I'll do as fast as I can. But that the particular one I just brought up, talked about it, is fixed now. So now there's some text there that says something about sign up this week or something on there. But it is set up, ready to go. And well, while I'm still going, I'll announce there is a new national, okay, what do we call it? The Natural Beekeepers Path nonprofit YouTube channel. That's probably the best way to find it. The Natural Beekeepers Path, just put that in, you'll see it. And there's a new YouTube channel. There's nothing on there yet. There will be by today or tomorrow because I'm going to put some unreleased videos, but really the good videos, the ones that everybody's seen on the news probably with the 14 million bees flying around me and others, that'll be up there in full HD viewing format and others. So that's coming to fruition. Do you have any other questions, Mark, you wanted to ask or run by me?
So you got the Scalar session weekly free. This week says relieve and release anxiety and stress, which is a good timing with all of the theater going around the country. It's mysticalwares.setmore.com/book. And we had an incident here in SF, like whether it's fake or not, I'm not sure, but it was like a protest thing, and then some people got unruly, most people dispersed, and then I think like 60 got arrested or something in SF. I wasn't in the area, but it's interesting how these things kind of happen. But then it all comes to the individual as far as getting grounded, balanced, and unidentified with anything external, and rely on your personal resources to be at a safe spot and not go towards anything that's off. You did have a An interview a week and a half ago with on YouTube. It's called Secrets of Saturn, and you did like a 20-minute thing on the bees, so people can take a listen to that if they want more updates.
Yeah, you mentioned also, yeah, and I skipped past it too fast. And this will be live, so what are we on the 10th? So this Friday night on the 13th on YouTube at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and there's a link on my profile page on Facebook, but I'll be live with Crow 777 podcast team, and we're going to be talking about the bee accident and the nonprofit and the book, just all stuff bees. And again, that'll be live with open chat on YouTube at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And then that same day, and I'm looking now, so I don't know if it's live or not, but I'm recording another podcast. It's called the Power Couple Podcast, so we'll have to watch for that one. And then, so that's coming up on the same day on the 13th, and I don't know if it's live, but we'll give a link to it when we can. Tonight, I think it's maybe live. I'm on the Crystalline Method Podcast. So Crystalline Method Podcast with Joe and Jess. And we're going to be talking, well, we're going to be talking about what we talked about just now was some of the unintentional ground currents, the stray voltage and bees and shungite and all of that stuff. So that'll be, I think it's live on YouTube. And I'm just looking at my calendar real quick before I stop speaking here. Do I have any other things? Yeah, well, okay, a little further out, so maybe I'll wait, but a couple more podcasts coming up in the next couple of weeks we'll talk about when they come up. But I'm looking at the day here, so I can tell you when, while I stop. June 24th, it'll be live with Mary Beckman at 9:30 Pacific time. So that's like what, 11:30 Central? And then Nancy, it's 3 hours for you. And that's I don't have the name up here with me.
Is that AM or PM?
AM. So it's gonna be 9:30 a.m. my time, Pacific time. And we do hers live on Facebook. Oh my gosh, I just had like 50 things went through my head. So I'm literally trying to think of what the podcast name is. So anyway, it'll occur to me and I'll put it out. But so I think that's everything coming up, like in the near future. The Crow one's a big one I'm excited about that's gonna be happening. So, and that'll again be live on YouTube.
Maybe some recommendations of what to get in your store as far as things ramp up in summer, weather transitions. I mean it's like at least up here where I'm at, it's hot 1 week and it's cold the next week. The Shungite Silver cream is pretty good as far as having different armor layers against this kind of weird weather. I mean, it's not drastic like in plenty of other places. It's pretty tolerable because we have the what do you call it? The Shungite Cloud Buster in operation here still. But yeah, I mean, I drive a lot, so I have the Silver Shungite Magnet in my car, which does save fuel and restructures the gas. Let me see what else. Oh yeah, the rubber. Because I drive a lot for work, I have the rubber pad I sit on and one for my back, especially after working out. Any other recommendations for summer you guys have?
Yeah, and actually the tincture, let me open it up here and get in that as well. Yeah, the Shungite rubber is always a good one. I mean, I have almost endless stories on that, even from current ones where people are using them on their cats to help them through certain ailments. We then thought about, but what I was going to bring up was the there we go. We had so the Arnica is a really good one to use, and we have actually I put a I'm trying to get it open right now on my website to see if I put it in the description. But I actually put a Shungite bead in there as well, a little 6 millimeter Shungite bead in the Arnica bottle. And that's something that you can use for muscle pain, any kind of injury, really. It's fantastic stuff. It's a roll on. It's, yeah, I'd put that under the Shungite rubber. So if you're doing any kind of physical healing, strain, sprains, put the, it's organic Arnica and menthol liniment is what it's called. I always have to look and open up the items, you guys, because we change the names and sometimes after for lots of reasons, what ends up on the website sometimes varies from what I remember. So It's the arnica flower. Yeah, and that stuff too with the menthol. Even when I was making it, and we use all our stuff. So we even use the shungite moonshine or alcohol as one of the ingredients. So we go just that focused on how it's made. But the menthol, I'll give you one little heads up on that. Be careful not to use this roll-on open wounds or anything, because it does have a burning effect, as you can imagine. The menthol, if it's on something that's open. But Nancy, did you ever get some of that from me?
No, but I want to make a statement about arnica because I've known about arnica for decades, and I was never really impressed until recently. And I think that certain things get to people put their energy in, oh, that's a good thing, it's a good thing, and pretty soon it's a good thing for everybody. And I think that's what's happened to arnica. It's not only just for what Derek just mentioned. What I've discovered about it is that it seems to be some kind of an immune booster and an inflammation. I think it takes out inflammation. And I say that because I am using it more often and I can kind of like work with it and find out what are you doing here? Let's figure this out. But also because of the response I've had with one of my cats. With an outdoor cat that came in and has a had a whole bunch of, let's say, problems, you know, from weird rash type of things to a very bad runny eye and even a like a it was almost like in her neck she had this bump that was bothersome, but I don't like vets is any more than I like doctors. So I said, all right, you're doing all right, even though you're not good. So let's just see about this. And I started giving her, because you can get small pellets of arnica, so that they are actually ingesting it. I wouldn't be swabbing them all over the place unless it's a little tiny bit and because they like to eat everything. And I found a real change in her. Everything that I mentioned has disappeared or is very, very slight. Like the eye, every once in a while, it'll still start to have a little problem. That's because I've been forgetting to give her the arnica. So don't underestimate it. And my friend Sandy, who's been working with it for decades, when she has some kind of a procedure like, dental work type of thing. What she does is she gets on the arnica like a whole week before whatever that is. And she has testimonies from the doctors that she's dealing with that she heals very, very fast. So there's something very magical about arnica. And I can't wait to see what kind of arnica you get from Derek. You know, I've got it as an ointment, and it's also the pellets. I call them pellets, but you can get them as tabs too. It's just that I haven't seen the tabs. It's been these pellets, but for animals, the pellets are better because you drop it right in their food; they don't even know they're eating it. So, anyway, I just wanted to make that one thing, and I know we're getting to the point where we could probably stop the show. But I really want you to give people a lowdown on the Starlink, if you could, because I first off want the information, and I talk to you more on these shows than I do on a telephone. And I would like to share it with other people because I found it very, very, let's say, interesting and intriguing. Do you mind?
No. Yeah, I mean, so of course we're talking Starlink, we're just talking about a satellite internet. I needed it because I live on a rural area just out in farmland, so there was no internet service out there other than satellite. There's no fiber optic or, any of that stuff. So we had no option. And I've over the years dealt with several satellite internet companies for similar reasons on different properties, but I had never tried Starlink one, and that was an option. I was actually getting it for my traveling to Arizona and back, so I could just toss the antenna up top of my van and have, mobile internet service, and I can still do that with it. But and that's in essence all it is. It's a laptop sized antenna. You just set outside, aim towards the satellites, and your an app on your phone will tell you where to point it, and that's it. Hit a button, and then you have your router that just runs inside your house, so your Wi-Fi, and then you can run everything off of that, and it works fantastic. It doesn't really have any drawback weather-wise. I've been through some various storms here and rain and gusts and cloud cover and all that, and it's working just fine through that. And it works three or four times better. It's hard to even, say exactly, but a lot better than the, what is it, Viasat maybe, whatever another one we had here that we're about to send the parts and pieces back to. But it was horrible service compared to the Starlink. And then just the interfaces and what you can do. So the Starlink is great too. And I'm not like, I don't get a kickback. I'm not, and I'm sure they probably give you a QR code you could share, but I'm not doing all that. So I'm just giving my own personal feedback. And again, it was initially, I purchased it or set it up so I could have traveling internet because I go through the deserts a lot and regions where I wouldn't have internet and or definitely couldn't live broadcast video, which is what I was going to do. So, but then when we had such poor internet service at home, because of the reason I told you, being so far out from everything, I thought, well, let's try it at home. And immediately it worked great. We're running multiple devices off of it. You don't have to move it. What's weird, Nancy, too, is the satellite. It's just a flat panel thing that's waterproof. Again, you stick out in your on your back deck or the roof of your house, wherever you want to mount it, or just have it sitting there. It'll actually detect snow and melt it for you. Because the snow would, it'll heat up, basically heat up and keep anything from snow, anything from sitting on it. So that's one. I don't have that issue up here, but no, it works great. So that's. I'm not sure if you had any specific questions on it.
Well, it was also the cost, how much less expensive it is.
Yeah, and it's the same everywhere. I don't know what these plans vary, but. Maybe 150, 160, 150, $160 a month for unlimited everything. There's shorter, smaller plans. Yeah, I don't want to get into a little plan structure because I don't know, but I'll just tell you, it was a little bit less than some of them, a lot less than others. So it's definitely priced affordable if you are going to get something like that. I'll put it that way. It's not like it's painfully expensive because it's Starlink. Another cool thing is, you get an app for your phone and it will tell you every device that's connected to your internet, Starlink, and you can pause it. You can do all kinds of things to it. So you know that, well, that TV over there, because I found that out, we have a device in our house at, in the middle of the night, and I know we all do probably many of these, but I didn't know it was such a internet heavy usage thing. Doing updates behind the scenes at whatever time in the morning, I could see that kind of stuff. And then you can pause it if you need to, sort of thing. So it had some cool features like that that some people would use, some wouldn't. But yeah, I don't know. Works well. We've had it for a couple few months now. And anytime I can just take it and unplug it and then drive away with it. And as long as I have power, pull over in the desert, aim at the sky and have internet.
And it's probably, well, we know that it's critical in critical structure problems when you have a hurricane go through and there's nothing left.
Oh yeah,
There's
they even sell a backpack version. So it's for, scientists or whomever, out in the, far out in the wherever again, forests of wherever, I keep saying wherever. But the satellite, the antenna's on your backpack and there's a battery pack, so now you can go remote. Because I know there's things like satellite phones, but that's different. That doesn't give you a hotspot, let's say, where you can pop out your laptop. Everybody sitting next to you can take out their cell phones. And start texting and calling people over your hotspot in the middle of the forest, or so. No, that's something you can do.
Anyway, I wanted people to know about it because it's out there. You hear about it all the time, but Derek's the first one I know that's actually used it. So I wanted to share that. Is there
Yeah.
anything else you two want to mention on this show?
Yeah,
No.
I was supposed to go to, not supposed to, but was invited to go to a cruise, a boat cruise, this week, but I couldn't go based on what we talked about 2 years ago. I think it was in August 2023. I brought back that archive of going on a cruise and getting sick. Now, relatives and people close to me blamed it on food poisoning. And, because I've been studying up on life force for about energy about since 2000. I mean, I'm not great or good at it, but I get by. But and then let me just read what I wrote here, and brought back the post. I mean, it's not on Rumble. You'll have to go to cosmicreality.com and or no, you could go on your iPhone, the what do you call it, the podcast app, and then go all the way down to August, between 15th and 21st of 2023, as far as my boat cruise story. And it's about, let me see, 45 minutes in, I got really sick, and I mean, part of it could have been the food poisoning, but having talked to, you, Nancy, Walt, and then Derek too, that it was an energy thing. And you guys talked about the Oregon and the metal frame of what the ship is made of, and where the Oregon, the life force, gets stuck. There's no way for it to properly flow. And I put in a few Gateway Pundit articles back in 2021, 22, 23. There were about five of them, but I just put three of like these cruise ships where people who got the injection, because at the time it was you couldn't go on a almost anywhere without these vax cards. And especially these cruise ships, you needed to get a shot. And there were a bunch of instances where let me see, the headline says, "Cruise ship with fully vaccinated passengers and crew members dock in San Francisco after COVID outbreak." And there were these various headlines from this news outlet. And we know the relation with COVID and 5G and EMFs, and even the patents for that. And even with having the best stuff that Walt has, the resonators, and then what Derek had, because there's the constant bombardment of the artificial energies, despite it being biocompatibilized, it needs proper flow, which it didn't have. And I thought maybe someday as a replay that you guys could play that. It wasn't a long segment, but I think it was really important for, especially for people, because summer weather getting warmer, there people are traveling more, they're outside more, which is good, getting sun. But again, you're always in this enclosed thing, especially a car. And in addition to the silver shungite magnet, I recommend people go to biogeometry, keyword search that, and get their car strip. Especially if you have an electric car, that will fully make an electric car a healing chamber. And I recommend having both the magnet and like, why short yourself, especially if there's bit better chances for people to get injured, accident, whatever, on the road. And I know that more than anyone, because that's my job. But yeah, it was really insightful as far as what you guys suggested and recommended and what happened. And what I noted was that those who don't, and I'm just reading what I posted here, those who don't foundationally set life force, the body electric, and mitochondrial quantum biophysics as their go-to decentralized medicine are in for surprises. I mean, we're electrical beings, and modern society has made it so that all of these conveniences we have go against that and are almost anti-life. And there's this viral AI clip of calling 5G like anti-ether or synthetic ether, something like that. And I forget, there was a Musashi quote of be able to perceive things that your eye doesn't see, considering also that our visible light spectrum is like a thread compared to the whole full spectrum that's all around us, the multidimensionalness that we interact with and that we are. And we hope to cover that next week when we record Cosmic Soup and Awake versus Aware. I think we're gonna be bringing those back next week. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. Yeah, any additions to that, you guys?
No, I was in, and I was struggling with the mute again. No, I appreciate all the updates you're giving us. Tell you about, we don't have any, I'm not sure. I'll have to wait again and see if we have that individual on next week. Mark, I'll update you behind the scenes this week when I hear back. But that'll be an interesting show. I don't think I've been
Yeah.
to, go ahead.
I am trying to. I reached out to the because Catherine Takeon, who we've had on a few times. I reached out to her recommendations. No replies yet. And then there's a guest who's an acupuncturist and also in biogeometry. She keeps moving the date, and so and I said we can tape. Like it doesn't have to be a Tuesday, but if we can get the guest on for next week, as far as his recommendations, I think that would be perfect. And if he comes on next week, then I have one or two guests for July, one for sure early July. But yeah, we'll keep the ball rolling.
Yep, exactly. No, I think that's probably all we've got, Nancy. Did you want
Well, if anybody has somebody they want to hear, put us in contact with them if you know that they talk about shungite or whatever, and any kind of energy healing, that type of thing. Get in contact with Mark and we'll see what we can do. I don't have anything more, so if you guys are content with the show, we can sign on off.
Yep, nope. I appreciate everybody being here. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Nancy.
Derek, can you give us the site again of your new book and then the GoFundMe page?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So the new website is thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And then right under that, on that page, you'll see a GoFundMe link. Or if you just go to GoFundMe, you can type in the Natural Beekeeper's Path, and it'll show up there. And that's where we're giving some information of everything I was talking about as far as setting the kids up and everything. But yeah, the naturalbeekeeperspath.com.
And then the interviews you have coming up, I know it was with Crow, right?
Yeah, the Crow one will be live. It'll be on Friday. So this Friday at, I'm trying to bring it open right now. It's at 4 p.m. PST on YouTube. But I've got that link in a event on my Facebook profile as well, so that somebody can click on it if they need to. And that's the only one that I know is going to be live. So the others will have to, I'll have to find out and let you know because I'm not sure if they're going to be on YouTube or not. When I know, I'll publish them on my Facebook profile and wherever else I can.
Okay, great.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. And everybody have a great day.
Everybody out there, we thank you for listening. Be safe, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.